The two readings this morning are quite short. One is from Psalm 46. The other is from John 15:13. And I would like to do something a little differently. I would like to read it first, and then I would like us to read it together. I think Sandy has it on the screen. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And from John, no one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends.
Hopefully, we are in the process of becoming the peace that many of us have done a lot to work toward. And certainly there are times when it seems like we're doing just the opposite in today's time. But today I call us to celebrate those who work for peace. I just got back on Friday night from the Parliament of Worlds of the World's Religions. It was in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. There were 7,500 people gathered there from around the world. And every single person that spoke from the various faiths I've never even heard of and cannot name all of them, a common phrase was that love above hate. And I know that that's what we're working towards, and that's what Jesus encouraged us to do. At every gathering, we were reminded that we were gathered on earth that belonged to the people of what they call the First Nations in Canada. And then they would name the various tribes. I don't know what First Nations people's land we're standing on today, but boy, am I going to do some research. And I'm going to try to incorporate that in gatherings wherever I gather, because that was such a tribute. And we do owe our lives to the people that first lived here. So perhaps those were our first veterans. So I just lift that up as a remembrance. You will see poppies here. Canada celebrates Veterans Day today also. And we used to have poppies. Has anybody seen poppies being sold to remember? Didn't we used to do that on Veterans Day? Okay, so my brain is not playing tricks with me. Okay, that's good to know. And I wasn't home long enough to go out and look to see if I could find one here. So the first thing, you are all participating, by the way, so get ready. The first thing that I would like to ask is that anyone who has been a veteran, would you please stand? Okay, anybody who has had a family member who is or has been a veteran, would you please stand? Okay, that's almost all of us, isn't it? Now, the people of the First Nation, the tribes in Canada, say they celebrate Veterans Day every single day. And they don't just celebrate the veterans, they celebrate the family members. They also include people in the Peace Corps. Anybody have relatives or have been in the Peace Corps? They also celebrate people who have done various things to promote peace. We had our peace vigils. Would you please stand if you participated in that? People who have done acts for justice. Anybody qualify for that? People who have done anything to help the poor and struggling. That means feeding, gathering clothing, and all of you are part of that because we do that as a congregation. Thank you. So I love the way that these First Nation tribes have broadened this out and celebrate every single day. I think that is important. I think also today of our peacekeepers, especially Sergeant Ron Hellis, who was the first responder at the shooting, and those people that were police officers, but there to party, and they put themselves in the way of the bullets. So that was in the Thousand Oaks shooting. So we remember these people, and there are some who have been unnamed over the years, who put their lives on the line for peace and protection. Today now, I invite you to celebrate veterans by coming forth and lighting a candle. This is a remembrance cloth, and the names will stay on here. I could not find my usual marking pins. They're indelible, but they're not writing very well, so you might just need to put initials. And so this is, listen carefully, because this is kind of important. So write the names, and then pick up your candle, and you can light it this way, because hopefully we don't want wax dripped on the table. There's matches if you just want to light it that way. There's a few lighters here. But the first thing you do is write. I've written mine in a circle, and so I'm giving you an example. So I remember my father, who served in the Navy, World War II. He was a physical therapist, or actually a whatever it's called. He had a degree to do to teach in the public schools, gym, et cetera, et cetera. So he stayed in Oklahoma, working with the troops to make them stronger. But he was in the Navy. My uncle was a Navy pilot in World War II, and I'm pretty sure he suffered from post-traumatic stress and died at a young age. My father-in-law, Frank, wanted to enlist in the Army, but he was a welder and he was working on the airplanes, and they would not allow him. And of course, my John, my husband, was drafted into Vietnam. And then all of the people of those people's families were affected by their service. My dad almost got shot because my mother gave birth to my brother, who's 3 years older than me, and he almost got shot by friendly fire when he was trying to make it to a telephone. So you all have stories. You may come and tell your story. I have a microphone if you want to. You may just come and light a candle. You may write if you want to. All of you are part of our reflection today. And So I light this in remembrance of the people that I just mentioned, and I'm going to demonstrate again. Whoops. That was not a good demonstration, was it? I've been known to do that in the past. So as I said, there are matches here too. And if you use a match, just stick it in the sand. And you don't have to come one at a time. Come gather around the table of remembrance.
I'm remembering my father, Wilbur Rogers. He was a surgeon in downtown Los Angeles. When the war started, he closed his practice and enlisted in the Navy, was assigned to the Marines. And he was in the Battle of Iwo Jima, and if you know that. And he did survive and came home and moved his practice to Glendale. And I've been in this neighborhood ever since.
Thank you for sharing. I had two uncles. One was in the Navy. One was in the Army. The one in the Army went through a lot of combat, and he came home shell-shocked. So he had problems like a lot of the military men do when they come home. He finally got over it, and we prayed about him a lot.
Good morning. I'm remembering my dad today, Jerome McDermott. He was a sonar operator in the North Atlantic, which is kind of funny because he could never nail a nail into the wall straight. So we were always very puzzled and amused by the fact that he had such a technical job. So remembering my dad today. Thanks.
I'm remembering my uncles who served. And I'm also remembering my mother, who stayed here and was a riveter. and my father, who had a medical disability, but he served in a factory that made the shirts, so for the uniforms and all. And for a lot of friends during the Vietnam, I was one of those people who helped people who were becoming conscious objectors. And I also made chocolate chip cookies to send to soldiers who were serving. So thank you.
Some often forgotten veterans, and we do call them veterans. I worked for Bob Hope for 15 years. And although I never actually went into the field with him, there was another man named Ward Grant who usually wound up with that duty. I went to the military bases with Bob and with the veterans. And what many people seem to sometimes forget is that these USO performers often put their lives very, very much on the line because they were often as close to the front entertaining. They were targeted by the other side because they wanted to take out that moral, you know, the morale. They wanted to take out that source of morale for the people. So USO groups were often targeted. In fact, Bob one time he was scheduled to check into a hotel, and they were running 2 hours late. By the time he arrived, he found out that building had been bombed. He found out later that it was bombed because they knew he was coming. So he carried a great deal of guilt about the people who died in that building simply because he was supposed to be there. But these people were on the front lines putting up towers, putting up speakers and things, and they were often being shot while they were doing it. So,
I decided to focus on World War I. My grandfather was sent to the Mexican border in what they called the dress rehearsal for World War I, when supposedly Pancho Villa was raiding over the border, and military troops, National Guard, were massed at the border in Texas, and they were cavalry units, and his horse was very important to him. But when he was sent to World War I, it was as a captain for a machine gun battalion, and that's the change that happened in war across that divide. Meanwhile, my other grandfather was a sheep herder and fibbed a little and said he knew how to break horses. So he was breaking broncos in the West to be sent into war. And so they were still using horses. And he was on a ship in the belly of a ship with his horses when the war ended and the ship turned around. So just the strangeness, the luck, the irrationality of it all. I lit my candle for that.
I light my candle in remembrance of my dad. He joined the Navy Seabees out of respect for his mother, who was a Jehovah's Witness and did not believe in any violence against others. And my father was actually an agnostic, taught me the meaning of that word when I was really young. He did believe in a supreme being, but out of respect for his mom, he joined the Seabees, a division of the Navy, so that he was not going to be doing any violent acts.
My father was drafted into the Army, re-enlisted into the Air Force, and told myself and my brother to go in the Navy because they had better food. And we served, and I served 4 years in the U.S. Navy. And a lot of times when I go to the VA and they tell me, thank you for your service, I almost cringe because I feel guilty, because I went to Naples, Italy, and painted murals in the Officers Club, the USO, the Enlisted Men's Club. I was an artist in the Navy. But anyway, today I wanted to remember some others who are the... I was at the VA and I saw a little table set up, and it was for the POWs and the missing in actions. And the table was round to show their everlasting concern for the men still missing. The cloth is white, symbolizing the purity of their motives when answering the call of duty. A single red rose was displayed in a vase, remind us of the life of each of the missing and their loved ones and friends who keep the faith awaiting answers. The vase is tied with a red ribbon, symbol of our continued determination to account for our missing. A slice of lemon on the plate is to remind us of the bitter fate of those captured and missing in a foreign land. A pinch of salt symbolizes the tears endured by those missing and their families who seek answers. The Bible represents the strength gained through faith to sustain those lost from our country, founded as one nation under God. The glass is inverted to symbolize their inability to share this toast. The chairs are empty. They are missing. Let us honor America's POWs and missing in action as the success of our efforts to account for them. God bless all our veterans.
I'd like to remember my grandfather, Leonard Edgar Gowing. He served with the Canadian forces in France during World War I. And when he returned home, he had a lot of symptoms of, they called it in those days, shell shock. And he was exposed to mustard gas as well. And I'm not sure that he ever was able to lead completely normal life after he returned. But I'd also like to give credit and thanks for my brother-in-law, who, as Beth was mentioning, was a conscientious objector. Comes from the Mennonite faith in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And he served in Vietnam as alternative service and worked with helping refugees and victims of the war and orphans and people in hospitals and in relief, bringing relief to those who had been hurt and displaced by the war and also by natural disaster.
Sorry, I'm back. Harlan reminded me of something that I personally have done. Being a part of the group, the Jubilee Singers, our first assignments were with the Department of Defense, Department of the Army, and the State Department. And I served on the DMZ in Korea when we were passing North Koreans to get over the DMZ. They had the South Korean would be on the north side, and the North Korean would be on the south side. They had to cross each other if war broke out. And I crossed that bridge, and I sang for the troops there. Another incident, very briefly, we were in Sri Lanka. We gave a concert. We were rushed out after we had enjoyed everything, getting ready to go to bed, and the order came in, get them out now. And they got us out 4 hours before the plane we were supposed to arrive on, the first 12 people, which would have been us, was shot on.
Yeah, I'd like to remember my dad. He served in World War II on the USS Yorktown in the Pacific Theater. He was in bomb ordnance. And I had two uncles, Dave and Jim Sheldon, that both served in Vietnam.
Thank you all for sharing. I forgot to mention my daughter's father-in-law, Jack Bottinelli, who also served in Vietnam, and he died a few years ago because he was exposed to Agent Orange and he had an enlarged heart. And so I remember Jack Bottinelli. Let us take a moment of reflection, please. Silent reflection.